Well, that was wonderful. Thanks, Praise Band. It was good to have you guys do your thing. Sorry about the slides. The guy that was running them didn't seem to pay attention very well. No, it's because I was trying to run sound at the same time. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's not easy. It's you guys whoever are running the slides, thank you. It's not, because you start to worship and you go, I'm raising my hands back there, I'm singing, I'm like, why aren't they changing the slide? Oh, I'm the guy. What is happening here? So it's easy to forget that. Good morning. Glad you guys are here. It's super fun to be together in God's house. Here's the thing. The thing about this, about what we're doing here, we want as elders, in the leadership of this church, we don't just want to do a church service. We don't just want to, hey, we did our time, we punched, hey, yeah, we went to church on Sunday. There's no such thing, by the way. You are the church. You can't went to church when you are it, right? We're the church. This happens to be a building that we get to use. Thank you, Lord. Some materials, some tools that we get to use, right? I mean, it's fun. But we are the church, and as the church, we're not like anybody else in this whole planet, right? We're God's people. And we've been studying Ephesians, and the whole thing about Ephesians is the two became one, and there was this brand new thing, a Christian. There was what? What was there before? There was Jews, and there was Gentiles. I should say there were Jews and there were Gentiles, but I mean there was that group called Jews and there was that thing called Gentiles. And then God did some magic and it was incredible what he did, and he created this new thing. And Ephesians 3, I love that passage in Ephesians 3 where it says that he kind of pulled back the curtain and his manifold wisdom was made known to the universe, which is strange. The universe is watching. And what did he show when he pulled back the curtain? You and me. And it's a weird thing, don't you think? When you go, okay, so God wants to show his manifold wisdom, his many-sided, unbelievable wisdom. How's he going to show it? By us? Dude, did you know you made a mistake there? And you take a look at us and you think, this can't possibly be the way God shows his wisdom and his manifold wisdom to the universe. But it is. We're it. Now, think on that for just a second. We're it. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's at work and those who are disobedient to God. And all of us lived like them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like all the rest of them, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, even when we were dead in our sin, he made us alive. So it's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? That's Ephesians 1. We're studying Ephesians. That's Ephesians 1. I've gone through that already. It sounded new again. Every time I read it, it sounds new. Ephesians 1. As for you, you were dead, and now you're alive. And he did that because he just loves doing it. He did that because he's a God of grace. He didn't do it because you're cool, and you are, but that's not why he did it. He didn't do it because you're good, and you're not. He did it because he's good. He didn't do it because you somehow earned it. You didn't. You never can. He did it because he's a God of grace. And he finds incredible joy loving us. He finds incredible, I'm not making this up, right? That's what's in scripture. He finds incredible joy loving us. And yet I think we don't get it. I think we just in one ear, out the other, and then we go about our business and do our life. We don't realize who we are. That's what I think. Imagine if Superman didn't know he was Superman. You know? And he had all this incredible power and all that. He didn't know that. And he's just living life like Clark Kent. Of course, until he takes off the glasses. Then everything changes. Those glasses, nobody knows who he is. When Tyler came in with those glasses, I didn't know who he was. Like, he's wearing glasses. I don't know him with the glasses. Take them off so I can see who you really are, bro. There you go. That's that incredible basketball player I played last night. Yeah. Now, you know, it is funny, that whole Clark Kent thing. But he says that we are Superman now in Christ. That's who we are. Do you know that? Are you aware of who you are? Does that matter to you? Does it mean something to you? Man, I don't know how to get this across. I really don't. Because it's really a work of God, that what I'm talking about. It's a work of God. Knowing that you are God's incredible handiwork, that you have all the gifts, all the fullness of Christ is in you. Did you know that? Everything. As he is, so are we in this world. Not when we see him, we'll be like him because we'll see him face to face. That's true. The only thing different about that and this is you're stuck in this body. But in terms of your essential nature, all the fullness of deity dwells in you. It's true. And our job is to get that out. Our job is to activate that. What? Why do we have a job? Because it says it's finished in Christ, right? It is finished. He died on the cross. He said it's finished. And now we enjoy the finished work of Christ. So have you been transformed? Have you been made new? Have you? Yes. Think about it. Have you? If that's true and you're nodding your heads, then you've got an enormous authority and power. Okay, keep that in your mind. All, you know, he's given us all authority, and I love this verse, Luke 10, 19, to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no ways harm you. You have authority. You have power. That's who you are. Okay, so you came to church this morning, got up, got dressed, thought about maybe staying in bed, but you came. And you thought, oh man, the game's going to be on this afternoon. I don't know, is the game going to be on this afternoon? Something going on? Or you thought about, oh, we're going to go out and have lunch. That's going to be really fun. And yeah, that'll be fun. I can see some of my friends at church. That's going to be really, really fun. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. It's going to be fun going to church. Yeah. I hope the pastor preaches something good. I hope there's some good songs. But I'm going to see my friends, and then we're going to go out to lunch. It's going to be good. Okay, that's cool. I like that. It's a nice social interaction. Is that it? Is that it? Is that what we're doing? Because I can do that down at the Eagles. You know? I can do that down at Cheers, where everyone knows my name. You know? What's different here? What is different here? This is not a social club. It's not a club. And it's not just a gathering of some people. We're saints. We are the very body of Christ. So why did we come together this morning? Why are we even here? This is an odd structure, really. You got to admit, people sitting in chairs looking at one guy, everybody facing here, and this one guy trying to say something. And you're like, yeah, is that good? 7, 5. I think more highly of myself than that. 2. Let's be honest. But really, is that what it's about? You know, some songs and a sermon and grading everything and then going out to lunch or going home and watching the game? No, that's, of course that's not what it's about. None of you would even think that. You certainly wouldn't say it out loud. But what are you? Who are we? What is this thing about? And that's what the way is about. That's what we're about here. If you want to know what's the way about, it's understanding our identity. It's getting beyond church. It's getting beyond religion. I saw somebody at the gym last night, because we went down there, we played basketball down at that little gym in Oakland. And I talked to a couple people, and one guy, I said, so you're a Christian? He goes, well, I'm not religious, but I do love Jesus. Wasn't that an interesting response? I'm not religious, but I do love Jesus. Wow, can I join that club? That's fun. I'm not religious, but I do love Jesus. So what did that mean? You know, I wish we had more time. I would have sat down and go, explain that to me, because that's kind of weird. But that's us. We're not religious, but we do love Jesus. But more than that, we recognize that we're not just any old, you know, skin and bones and flesh that's walking around here. We are those people of Ephesians 3. We are that new thing. Behold, old things have passed away, all things have become new. And I love that passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love that passage because in that passage, he's saying old things have passed away, your old life, whatever. In Romans 6:6, your old nature was crucified. You know, you're not any of that anymore. Well, what are you? You're this new thing from Ephesians. You're this new thing. He took them and he made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles, and he created something brand new and went, voila, look at that. What is this new thing? That's what we want to discover. That's what we want to identify. And that's what we want to walk in. That's the whole point of this. And as we continue to learn about this, as we continue to discover our true identity, then we start saying, if that's your identity, how ought you to respond to the pressures of life, to the surprises that are thrown at you every day, to the enemy coming at you, to the fact that we have three very real enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he's trying to take you down, and he'll use the world and the flesh to do it. So you have a very real enemy, but you're not really his enemy. He's God's enemy, but he's trying to get at God through you. So it's a war, right? It is spiritual warfare, every single thing. And when you're just at work and something goes wrong, like you're shooting nails and your compressor breaks down and you got a time frame. And you're like, I hate this gun anyway. I lent my good one to my partner and now I got the, you know how it happens. Tools always break. And you're like, oh, it's so frustrating. And then you stop and you go, wait a minute. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. What am I so flipped out about? God knows this is going to happen. I'm in warfare. Did I expect everything's going to work? Did I expect everything's going to go my way? Then you're nuts. You're naive. You don't realize who you are. When you are going to town and and you got an appointment and you're on your way and every light is red, what's the deal? You know? It's like, why? Who knows? And it may just be that that's the way they timed them and you happen to fall into that slot, you know? I mean, it may not be that the enemy's going, red, up, screw this guy up, it's red. It may not be that way. But where the enemy gets in is he says, none of the lights are turning for you. God doesn't love you. Life stinks. You're no good. Why did you get up this morning? That's the enemy. That's the enemy, not the lights. The lights are gonna turn red or green, whatever. But you're gonna time in your head and you're gonna get mad about those stupid lights and then that idiot at the gas station and that dumb guy over there and all of a sudden you're griping and complaining and you're yelling about everything and you're all in a bunch and you're just like, eh! And the Lord says, is that really who you are? Well, right now, yes. That is who I am right now. Huh, but old things have passed away. What are you doing? You know, I just slipped right back into that old guy and he's dead and crucified and doesn't even exist anymore. I don't know. What was I doing? I was thinking that somehow I was like everybody else here and I'm not. I'm completely changed and completely different. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me, Lord. Isn't it fun to have friends that are able to remind you of that? Isn't it fun to have people in your life that remind you who you really are and not, so it's fun to have your wife go, is that really who you are? Yeah. What are you doing? Don't do that, wives. actually, my wife does do that. Usually, I don't take offense. Usually, I go, you're right. No, maybe it isn't usually. Sometimes, I don't take offense. But and sometimes I go, she's right. She's right. She just reminded me who I am. She's not trying to be, you know, that. She's just being my loving sister in Christ. And we need that. We need that from each other. Why did I come to church this morning? Because I need to remember who I am. Now, that's one. Two is, as you remember who you are, you better remember this. You have tremendous power and authority and the gifts of the Spirit within you. And he can activate any of those gifts anytime he wants. Anytime he wants. And he wants to use the gifts that he placed in you to minister to the whole wide world so the world will know Jesus. No, that's not what the Bible says. He wants to use those gifts that are in you to minister to the body. Right? He gave some to be pastors and some to be preachers, some to be elders, some to be pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for works of ministry, that we might minister one to another, we might come to unity, and that we might come to a deeper knowledge of Christ and ultimately see the fullness of God in your life. Back up, step by step, none of those things are going to happen unless you know your identity. None of those things are going to happen unless you're walking in that identity. None of those things are going to happen unless you're using the gifts he placed in you. And that's not going to happen unless you're like iron sharpening iron, reminding each other who you really are. And see the progression until you start using your gifts, ministering one to another, growing in Christ, and becoming mature. Not becoming sanctified or holy. You are that. It says it. You're holy. Been set apart. Called out of darkness into light. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're holy. Holy just simply means set apart. You know that. Holy doesn't mean you're good, perfect, pure, and you don't do anything wrong. I don't know anybody that's that yet. You know, some of you maybe a little more. Jesus was that. You're not. But in Christ you are. As God looks at you, you are holy, perfect, and pure. That's your identity. Don't let the enemy beat you up and go, well, you're just a sinner. You know, what else did you expect? You're just a sinner. No, I was a sinner. I was saved by grace, right? Not of works. It's a gift from God, so no one can boast about it. It's a work of God. Okay, then you're a saint, right? You're not a sinner. You were a sinner. And what do you expect from sinners? Sin. What do you expect from saints? I don't know. I don't see many walking in their identity. What do you expect from saints? I expect them to be walking in their identity. I expect them to be the voice of God in my life. I expect them to be the tenderness of God in my life. I expect them to be the hands of God in my life. Are you that? Are you that? Are you doing that? Are you living your life as a saint? Or are you living your life as a meat sack walking through waiting for heaven? And some people tell me that, I can't wait for the rapture. Then we're out of here, yay. Look, the rapture is going to be cool or whatever. I do want to be with the Lord, but to live is Christ. To die is gain, but to live is Christ. Are you living that way? Do you wake up in the morning and go, another day to live in Christ. Another day to shine his light. Another day to do his bidding. Another day to see lives transformed. Another day that I get to see the gifts of God in me and through me. Are you living like that? I am almost every day. Honest to goodness. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying it's a funner way to live. I know funner's not a word, but it's fun to say. But it is a better way to live. That's why I say go out and play. As a believer, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. As a believer, you should be able to go out and play in Jesus. You're not one that's going to get all upset because the lights are red. That's not you. You're not going to get all upset because that car you're working on just isn't getting fixed. We don't get upset about that kind of stuff. We don't get off track because the wrench breaks or because the fuse blows or whatever. Okay, all right. I do struggle with some of that, all right? Let's be honest about this. But I don't want to live that way. I need help. I need prayer. I need encouragement. I need honesty. I need transparency. I need you. I need you. That's what a life group is. In a life group, don't go to life groups, let me tell you, unless you want to grow unless you want to really see Christ from an inside perspective, do not go to a life group, because that's living in fellowship every day. In a life group, somebody's going to say, what was that all about? You're acting like a baby. What was that all about? You were acting like a worldly person. Now, that's really not what we're about. But that's going to happen. Truly, if you're in a life group, there's going to be some transparency there. And I hope you're giving people access. If you're not giving people access, you're not being a Christian. Does that make sense? If you're not giving people access, iron should sharpen iron. We should come together to tune each other. We should minister one to another that we might grow in Christ. And if we're not doing that, join the Elks. Well, I've never been to the Elks, so I don't know what they're like. But I think there's dancing there. And that would be fun. Unless you're a Baptist, then you can't do that ever. Oh, man. No, God loves us, man. And we're in Christ. And that means we're different. That means we're different. And so I'm really hoping that the Way gets that. If there's any place in this whole town of Sutherland that you should know that's what you're going to get, it's the Way. Okay, that's what you're going to get here. And if you don't want that, this may not be the right place for you. If you don't want to be reminded of your identity, if you don't want to be told week after week that you're holy, that you're mighty, that you're authoritative, that you have power, that you can change the world, if you don't want to hear that stuff, because that could be daunting and it could put a little pressure on you, if you don't want to hear that, please find another place to go play bingo and eat spaghetti, okay? Hopefully we do some of that. I like bingo and I love spaghetti, you know? But that's not what I'm about. Those things are fun. But I come to church because I need you. I need you. I have to be together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially in these last days. I'm quoting scripture here. So why do we come together? This is where the magic happens. It is. Can this happen outside of these four walls? Can this happen? Well, yeah. That's why we have life groups. Can this happen on the golf course? No. Well, I commune with God. I play golf. You know, sun comes up. I see creation. I'm like, God, this is beautiful. And I just hit a birdie. You know, sorry, birdie. what's all this about? You know, some people tell me, I don't go to church. You know, I worship God. We got 80 acres and I went riding my horse this morning and I was just thanking God for this. It's so beautiful. And I was worshiping. I don't doubt it. That's cool. Go do it. Have fun golfing and riding your horses and taking hikes. Great. But you need this in your Christian realm. Oh, and I hope we do take in beauty. I hope we do take time to look at the stars. You ever just stopped recently? Just stopped and went, wow. And just breathe it in. Just do it. Just stop. And you realize every day I'm walking and walking and walking. I don't look up and see this. And the majesty of God just shouts his glory. But if you don't stop and gaze, just do it sometime. I know you do. I'm not saying you don't. But do it more often. Isn't it fun to just dial in with God, see his creation, and just go, I'm part of this. That should just bring awe. But even more awesome than that is to be a part of this. That's awesome. Man, I hope you guys get this. And I suspect that as we continue to preach the word this way, as we continue to teach people their identity and encourage people to walk in that identity, I suspect others will come. I suspect the word will get out that they're doing something a little weird over there. And I love it. I suspect that people go, I never knew that about myself. That's good to hear. I never knew that I was in the world but not of the world. I mean, really. And I never knew that I didn't have to get all, you know, anxiety ridden because the signal lights are messed up. And they are, especially when I'm driving. I don't know what it is. When I'm driving, those lights do click on the wrong side of stuff. Like, why me? Do you go to Costco and look for a parking space and pray? Give me a parking space. God, please help me. Give me a parking space. And you get one. I mean, and I pray before I get there. Oh, God, give me a parking space. Give me a parking space. And I get there and some ladies pulling up. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Yeah, can he do that? Sure he can. He can get you a parking space. What about your lost keys? Can he help you find your lost keys? Do you think he knows where they are? Yes. Yeah. Can he help with your sick dog? I believe he can. Can he help with your broken wrist? Absolutely. Can he do all this? Yes. That's some of the benefits of walking with God. What? So you walk with God so you can get benefits? Yeah, yes, I do. Hallelujah. God is a God who loves to bless us. He loves. You have not because you ask not. And then when you do ask, you don't believe. You double-minded man. It never says women. Women believe. They're good. The men, wishy-washy.
That's right.
Oh, God is doing something in your life right now. Let me ask you a question. This is a poll. How many of you would say that this week, God showed up? I mean, you saw him. Raise your hand if you could say that. Don't make it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only 5 of us. Oh, 6, 7. You can't raise 2 hands, Barry. They're back there. Wait a minute. God did show up, huh? God shows up. God is good. You know what? Here's something. Even when you're not aware, God shows up. I mean, even if you don't look up into the skies, the stars are still there, sparkling and looking beautiful. Whether you recognize or not, it's there because God's that kind of God. But he does show up. We have our little book of remembrance that we're filling out, our prayer record. And as we go back through, we go, well, God showed up. God showed up. Well, he didn't show up here, Julie. You dried out the pen. No, I don't know who did that. And it still writes. There is a God. This is a fun book to have as we take prayer requests and we write them down and then we come back and we say, God did that. God did that. God did that. We're going to keep doing this and we're going to get better at it. But God shows up. God shows up. So how did you see God in very practical ways this week? I mean, I'm not talking about you got a space at Costco. That's important. I mean, he does show up. But how did you see him working in your life in a practical way or in a revelatory way where he revealed something to you that you ordinarily don't see? Have you encountered God this week? Anybody? Anybody encounter God this week in a special and surprising way that you'd like to share? This is your chance to use your gifts to encourage the body. So, Dave, are you raising your hand? Because it's sideways behind your wife. I can't tell. All right, sure. Here's a microphone. Give it a go. I think that's on.
We'll see if it's on. Hey, it is. How about that? God shows up every day. I mean, he really does. And he lifts your spirit and he lifts your soul in ways that are truly unimaginable. From very... In the tiniest ways, just having people show up at the men's breakfast on Tuesday that haven't been there before is amazing. To get to know them and to share your life with them is something it's God. Coming together to knit together the community of Sutherland into his children, his family, they're his people. And we get together and we get to see that. Or if it's just having lunch and looking out over the vineyards and just seeing, how did God create this unbelievable thing that we call our home, that we live in, but that we're not a part of. I can hardly wait to get to heaven. If God can do this on earth for us, think what he's done in the heavens for his son. That's got to be truly, truly amazing. So I am thankful this week, as I am pretty much every week, for the things that God has brought into my life, for the things that he is teaching me, for the maturity that is happening over time. little by little, and I just give God praise and glory for all of this stuff because only He can do it. I tried. It didn't work.
Nice. Yeah. No, that was well said. The maturity that God is bringing, not the holiness, not the sanctification, that's done. Those are instantaneous. When you became a Christian, you became sanctified, set apart, holy. But man, you got to step into that, and it takes a while. And you were saying, you know, that you've been seeing some maturity, and she was nodding yes. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Last week she was like, not so much, but now God's working. God's working. How does God work in your life? Anybody want to share? Stand up so people can see you are Gloria and Dan Turner. These guys, we met them first at the Anytime Fitness. Yeah, but they've been around forever and ever. I wish I had another one of these. There's another one in the drawer if you can figure that out. I want to pray for these guys. I want to thank the Lord for them. They've been such an encouragement. Oh, well, I'm glad you're back. We have communion a lot.
Yeah.
We're recording this, and people can't hear it on the recording. And there are people in here that are really hard of hearing. Right, Dave?
Right, Don.
Right, Don? And some of you talk in very quiet tones. So let's see if this works. Oh, I forgot the other half of it.
Check 1, 2. That's better, and it's not making all that noise. Okay. Well, that explains why that one was in the drawer. That's better. Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Makes me sound like Superman. All right. I want to know more. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. That was awesome. It's a couple thing?
Yeah. Well, speaking of God answering prayer in a very practical way, we've been praying for about 3 weeks for a drummer, and Bob showed up last week, and he happened to be a drummer. But this week we found out he's actually good. God sent us a good drummer.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That is huge. Yeah. And he's sensitive. We really appreciate that. No pressure. You don't have to stay the rest of your life, but I hope you do. It's nice to have a drummer. As we're continuing to develop a worship team and a praise band, it's good. Any other sharing of God's goodness? Oh, way back there.
Our little dog came in last week, or two, it was a week and a half ago, with a owie on her. She was limping. And we're like, oh no, it's going to be so expensive to go to the vet. So we just kept praying, and now she's healing very well, and I just praise God because I know it's an expensive bill, so thank you, Jesus, for that.
Oh, little things. Listen, we did pray for that. We were thinking of going to the vet. We were thinking, you know what? God's got a way. We prayed for our dog, and she said, oh, and he healed her. She was into the prayer. She's pretty cool. Barry's got two what?
Two answers to prayer.
Barry does?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say that while I was back there, Barry?
I have one.
She said you have two answers to prayer.
Oh, yeah. we had this massive prayer about my wife's phone. She lost it a week or so before she was going to go on a trip to Florida. We prayed. It seemed kind of ridiculous, but we found the phone in Oakland, and she had lost it. It must have fallen out of her purse in Sutherland's in the parking lot. It got run over, and it ended up in a bar in Oakland, and I found it. So, kind of a miracle.
That's crazy.
The other kind of things, kind of obscure. There was a whole other bunch of stuff that had to be taken care of, and it happened. Everything's hunky-dory, you might say, thanks to our prayers and the help of this church.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, you guys have had a lot.
I'm sure I could think of more, but that's good enough for now.
Oh. You know, God is good, and it's nice to hear those things. And we're a small enough congregation that most of us knew all those things. But it's good to see what God's doing. God is moving. Now, I hope that you're running into people and seeing God in people and praying with people. I'll tell you something. This is kind of, let me pray about telling you this. Hold on a second. Okay, I'll tell you a version of this. I had an interesting thing happen this week. I went to a men's prayer, a pastor's gathering. What am I saying? I found this thing called B1. It's a group of pastors who meet together. While I was in this circle, people were sharing. This one guy had shared that he's seeing a lot of tumult in his church, a lot of struggle, difficulty. And so he made a video kind of apologizing for some of the stuff that he had done as a pastor or they had done as a church, and saying, you know, we went a little too far, we were a little too outgoing, whatever it was. I've been in church situations where it's coming apart at the seams. It's not fun. It's very painful. And so I really had a heart for him and prayed for him, and we had a great time. I'm run into another friend the same exact day, or was it the next day? No, it was the next day. It was the next day. Ran into a friend who told me that this particular pastor needs to resign, and that he is a very divisive, destructive pastor, and that he can't possibly be of the Lord. The same guy I just met yesterday. And like, whoa, what are you saying? What's that all about? And so he tells me how this pastor is and what he's saying and what he's doing. And so apparently, I'm trying to be very specific, but apparently this pastor in his church likes to hold you're going to hell placards, especially at LGBTQ gatherings or at abortion thingies, and they're trying to stand up and say no to unrighteousness. I get it. I get what he's trying to do. And so I said to this friend of mine, I don't think you get his heart. I don't think you know what's happening there. He goes, oh, I get his heart. The guy doesn't get the Bible. He's just picking and choosing. He's preaching whatever he wants, and he's making up stuff, and he's mean, and he's full of hatred. And I said, well, how do you know that? He said, because I'm the president of the LGBTQ organization in this town. Like, what? How in the world am I in this mix? So I said, would you like to meet with that pastor? Would you do a sit down and do a one-on-one? He goes, and I'll tell him exactly what I just told you. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. I'd like you to hear his heart. I don't know where he's coming from, but wouldn't it be cool to get those two together? And they may not change their position at all, and that's not the goal. The goal is to see their heart, because I've seen the heart of both those guys, and it's precious. These guys are both trying to do what it is that they think that they're supposed to do in this world. My LGBTQ guy, he absolutely believes what he's doing is righteous and good. He wouldn't say it that way, and he wouldn't use those terms. He's a de-church ex-believer type of guy and living in that realm. But he's a great guy. I really like him. I might even say I love him as a brother. I do. And he's got a whole different set of values than I have. But it doesn't make him less valuable. It doesn't make him less lovable. And I guarantee you, God doesn't love him less for his different choices, right? I want to love him. I want to reach out to him. I want to see those two come together. Now, they may never be friends. They may never see eye to eye, but I just want them to see each other's heart, if that can come out. So that's what I'm praying about. God, I'll pray right now for those two. Lord, you know them, and I pray somehow that they would see each other's heart. They both don't even know each other and yet are pronouncing judgment on each other. They don't even know each other. I want to be for your love and your grace. And I pray you continue to move in that and open the door and bring some healing there. In Jesus' name, amen. Wouldn't that be marvelous? I want you to understand that what is happening with me and those two guys, and it may be nothing. I called the one, I left a message that I want to meet with him and that I want to talk to him, the pastor. And I do. I want to understand that. I went and watched his video. I see why this guy's so offended. I get it. But that's what we're here on this planet for. That's not just Mike wanting to do something. I think that's the Holy Spirit in me saying, bring clarity. I want to be represented well. And somehow God's not being represented well. And if this LGBTQ guy, it's hard to say, if he feels unloved and rejected and hated, we're not saying it right. I said to him, dude, I see your lifestyle as an abomination to the Lord. But that's because that's what I feel the Bible says. But I know who the guy is. I know what he's about. But I can still love him, can't I? Is that okay with you? I'm going to love this guy. And I'm going to share God's love with him. And he may never change. He may never embrace the things I embrace. Does that matter? No. That's what this is for. I need to be able to come to you guys and say, look, I'm dealing with this or I'm dealing with that. And it's hard. And I need prayer because the enemy wants to get in and cause division and disruption. And I know that pastor, his heart is right. He wants to do the right thing before the Lord. He doesn't want to cause division, but he's willing to stand up and say things that are offensive to the community, say things that are offensive to other churches, stand for what he thinks God's called him to stand for. Good for him. Go for it. I'm not that guy. When I first became a Christian, I was a part of a ministry up in Portland called Bridging the Gap. Bridging the Gap. And we went out to the opera house, and people were coming in and going up and down the stairs there, and we're handing out these little flyers, Jesus loves you, some stuff like that. And people were receiving. It was very nice. The head of the ministry disappeared for a little bit. And then he comes back walking around this corner, and he's got this 20-foot sign. He's wearing this strap-on thing with a cup that holds this sign. He needs to wear this leather thing to hold it. And this sign is 20 feet tall. That's huge. That's to the ceiling. And it says, you're going to hell. God judging you. A turn or burn. Ask me how. Or something like. As soon as he did that, and he had a bullhorn, he goes, you're living in sin, and God hates you, and blah, 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 and you can receive Jesus right now. Not one person would ever take a flyer from us the rest of the evening. Everybody was coming toward us and splitting around us, you know. Nobody wanted to be near us. And I thought, this is what we're doing? I don't want to do this. I don't mind preaching the word. I don't mind giving the flyers out. I don't mind sitting with people. But you know, this saying is true. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you're sitting there with a bullhorn and a big banner going, God hates you and you're going to hell, I don't think people care to hear. They don't care to hear that message, clearly, but that's not what's being offensive. You're being offensive. The message is offensive. That, we get that. You can share Christ with people, and they might be offended, even if you do it in love and tenderness. Jesus offended a lot of people, but he wasn't offensive. I want God to place us in places where we can shine that light and stand for him. We don't have to be offensive, but we certainly do want to stand. And so I hope I can bridge the gap for these two and love both of them at the same time. And so I'm saying that one pastor, I think, has chosen an offensive approach. We'll let God work that out. I don't know him. I don't know what he's doing, but that's between him and the Lord. Pray for those kind of people. You may have even seen the video. It may be a bigger thing than I even think. But the point is, he's just trying to do the Lord's will. He, you know, maybe. Some people go, oh, no, he's just being selfish or whatever. That's up to God to figure out. I want to pray for him. I want to pray for both these guys. I want to love them both. I can't do that without you. You can't do that without me. We need each other. Now, I've gone much farther than I wanted on that open mic time. I want to stick back into this Ephesians passage, and I want to show you something here that is super duper fun. As we were reading earlier, and God raised us up with Christ, this is Ephesians chapter 1, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, key word in this book, in Christ Jesus. Nothing happens, nothing's good, nothing that we're talking about in Ephesians is going to happen in your life unless you're in Christ Jesus. And that's the place of protection, that's a place of authority, it's a place of power. It's like if you're in a submarine in a vicious ocean, you're in the sub, you're protected. You have air, you have a shield around you, you have the tools you need to do whatever you do when you're in the sub. And so you're in Christ. You have everything you need for life, and for godliness in Christ, right? That's who you are. Now, watch what he says. Watch this. And it says, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace and expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved, we all know this, through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works. So no one can boast about this. You know that. Ephesians 2:8, 9. You know that. If you don't, memorize that. You're saved by grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. It's a gift. So if you have Christ, you have eternal life, and that can't be taken away, and you can't walk away from it because he transformed you, right? Nothing you can do about it. For we are God's handiwork, verse 10, God's poema, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What? What? We are God's masterpiece. We were created in Christ to do good works. You're created to do good works. Now, what are those good works? He's going to lead you into them. We'll talk more about what are those good works, but you were created for that. You're not, you weren't created for so many other things that we get involved in this world. We're created for good works, which he prepared for us to do in advance, before the foundation of time. So God had these things that needed to be done. He created you, said, okay, you're going to do them. He created you to fulfill his will. You are his masterpiece, and his masterpiece of how he's going to do this. I don't care who you are, what your background is. I don't care if you're retired, if you're currently still working, if you're a teacher or a homemaker or a carpenter or whatever you are. You are God's workmanship, created to accomplish his will on this earth. And it begins by ministering to one another. So when I said, who's got something to share? And you go, microphone. Not me. Not me. And I know how you are about microphones. That's kind of the downside. But I would hope when I say, who wants to share, that all these hands would go up and go, I don't need the mic. I'm fine, but I want to share. I can't wait to share. I can't wait to tell you what Jesus is doing. I would hope that when I say, who wants to share, it is literally a fight for who gets that. Because that's how you minister one to another. That's the good works that God has called you to. What is the work of God? Do you know what it is? To believe on the one that he sent. That's it. That's the work of God. But these good works that he's talking about is you taking that belief and transforming it into a lifestyle as you minister one to another and build each other up and come to unity. Because you're already sanctified, you're already holy, you're already set apart, you're already in Christ. You have everything you need for life and godliness. There's nothing that you need that you don't already possess. He's already given it to you. Why don't you have it? Because you haven't stepped into it. It's yours. It's yours. I hope you're getting this. This might sound like I've heard this. Listen, so this good works thing is interesting. If you go over to Philippians 2:12, therefore, my dear children, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. So he's writing from prison to the Philippians church. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, pause. What? Now, you've heard this verse before, and it causes a lot of confusion. It says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does it mean to work out your salvation, and why is it with fear and trembling? People say, oh, I got to work out my salvation, you know. What does that mean? Well, it means you don't smoke, and you don't chew, you don't dance, you don't go with girls that do. Everyone knows that one. Some of those chewing girls are fun to be with. Some of those dancing girls are really fun to be with. Are we really not supposed to dance? Are we really not supposed to? Is that what he's talking about? I don't think so. Let's understand what he's trying. What's he trying to get at right here? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he says continue. That's a funny word. What does that imply? What?
It's already there.
Yeah, it's already happening. And he wants it to continue into the future, like Ann just said. Continue means you're already doing it. Oh, they're already doing that. Okay, what is it that they're doing? And then he says this, the next line is, for it is God who is working in you, causing you to desire and to fulfill his good pleasure. It is God who is already in you. God's the one making that happen. Continue to work out your salvation as you already are, because it's God in you causing you to do it anyway. So if, as I'm talking about this thing about walking in this world and not of this world, and walking in your identity, if there's any part of you going, yeah, I'm getting that, or I'm doing that, I'm already doing it, you should be hearing, that is me. That is who I am. You're right. You're not here to, you know, a lot of people spend time on their hobby, whatever their hobby is. You spend a lot of time, a lot of money on your hobby. Is that what you're here for? You're here for your hobby? Hobbies are fun. I play guitar. It's a hobby. I love it. It's my happy place. You know, I'm stressed out or I got stuff. I'll play my guitar. Another happy place I love is the ocean. Get me to the ocean. I love to just put my foot in the sand and just walk along the beach. I used to have to swim. It's too cold. But the ocean is my place. But that doesn't identify me. That's not who I am. Guitar isn't who I am. When I was growing up and as a kid and start playing guitar, every time there was a gathering of friends, I wanted to bring my guitar and, you know, play some Neil Diamond song, you know, because I want people to know that Mike Filippi is a guitar player. That's not who I am. I'm a Christian. Mike Filippi is a Christian. Mike Filippi is a lover of Jesus. Mike Filippi is a tool in the hands of God to do his bidding. God created good works for me to do. What is this? And it says, for it's he who's at work in me, causing me to will and to do his good pleasure. I'm going to pause that for a second and go back to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What is that all about? If we're in Christ, his perfect love casts out fear. What's he talking about? Fear and trembling. Did you come to God with fear and trembling? I remember the chief priest once a year would go into the Holy of Holies and he would represent the nation of Israel and he would sprinkle blood on the altar, on the mercy seat, on the altar. He'd sprinkle that blood and he'd go in there behind the veil, that giant veil that covered the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And in there was the Ark of the Covenant. In there was the law. In there was Aaron's rod. In there was two ephods of manna and this holy thing. And inside the ark and over the top of that was the mercy seat. And there was the cherubim and then the Shekinah glory of God, this glowing orb going. And that's what was in there. And this guy had to go in with this blood and he had to go sprinkle it and to atone for the sin of the people and pray to God he did it right. And then he got out of there because it could kill him if they didn't do it right, if he didn't come in the right way in the presence of God. And so he came in. Can you just imagine this guy going, oh, you're chosen. You're high priest today. Oh. And so now he's got to go in there and they're going, go in, Jeremiah. And he's like, me? And he goes in there and he's got to go up and he's got to sprinkle that thing. And he's hyperventilating and he's thinking, I'm dead. I know I'm dead. I'm supposed to be the high priest. If you'd have known what I was thinking last night, God would zap me right now. I'm supposed to come in here. I'm not worthy. Yeah, but thank God it wasn't about his worthiness. It was about the worthiness of the dead heifer that he's sprinkling, you know. It's not about your worthiness. Thank you, God. When the priest examines your sacrificial lamb, he's not examining you. He's examining your lamb. Man, that's a perfect lamb. Good. Flit. That's a sacrificial lamb. You come into the Holy of Holies, and you're scared to death, and you got to sprinkle this stuff. And, you know, they would tie a rope around his foot because he might die in there. And they're not going in. They're just going to pull him out with the rope. Yeah, well, Jeremiah's gone. Who's next? It's a volunteer program. No, that would be terrible. But it's interesting. How is this? What's the fear and trembling? That would be fear and trembling. That is not how we come to God. We come through the blood of Christ. That veil between the holy place and the holy has been torn. That veil is the body of Christ, broken so that we have full entrance. There's no longer that fear and trembling thing. So what's he talking about? Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. I looked this up in several commentaries. McLaren said this, "And your faith can be worth nothing unless it have bedded deep in it that trembling distrust of your own power, which is the prerequisite and the companion of all thankful and faithful reception of God's infinite mercy." A little bit old English there, but what he's saying is the fear and trembling is that you don't fall into the flesh, that you don't do the works of God on your own. That's the fear and trembling. Not that God's going to zap you, is that you're going to misrepresent God, is that you're going to start doing ministry on your own. Remember the Ephesians? I know your works. You've led people to Christ. You're awesome. I know your works. And just 30 years later, John writes to that church, the same church, the Ephesians church, you've lost your first love. You're dead. Get it dialed. Or what? Or I'm going to crush you like dust. No, that's not what he says. He says, get it fixed or I'll come in and I'll take your lampstand. What? What's that mean? That means you're all trusting in your pastor and the leadership of your church. That's your lampstand. It's what it represented. And they trusted their own testimony. And he said, no, I'm going to take that away so you can focus on me. I'm going to do this out of love. Either you guys get it tuned up, which would be great, or I'll come in and I will tune it up because I love you. It isn't a threat. It's a blessing. God will come in. If you don't get your act together with God, you are his child. He will get your act together and he will do it by taking away that thing that you're focused on, and he's going to help you focus on him. Does that make sense? We can go deeper in that. But McLaren is saying the fear and trembling here is about you getting back into yourself, and you got saved, you're excited, and all of a sudden you're back into, like the Ephesians, you're back into yourself. You're back into your programs, your church building. You're back into anything but Jesus. Listen, you are the people of God. You're the children of God. My encouragement today is that you walk it out. When you come to church, come here to serve, to minister, to touch other lives. You may be drained. This was a tough week. We'll come here to be refilled by the body of Christ. But either way, we need each other, right? Does that make sense? That's what it's about. Now, I want to give you a couple more things, then we'll be done. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure. In the Amplified Bible, it says, for it is God, not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will, that's desire, and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill his purpose in you for his good pleasure. It is he working me to will and do his good pleasure. That's what you're all about. And there's nothing you have to do except rest in Christ, because he does it. Your job is to rest. But if you're running around being religious, trying to be good, trying to be holy, trying to do the right thing, trying to balance your life, trying to get your schedule in order, trying to get your finances in order, good, keep it up. You're going to wear out real fast. You're going to burn yourself out. God says, just rest. Trust in me. Just rest. That's the work of God. That's what he's calling you to. He's calling you to rest. He's calling you to a good place, a happy place. When he says to them, you know, or I'll take your lampstand so that you'll come away with me. You'll get alone with me. You've got to be still. That's where the works of God happen. When we rest, he gets active. And if you're not resting, then he'll just wait. He'll just wait. But I'm telling you, your happy place is before the Lord. Now let me ask you this. How long did you spend this week just being with God? I know we're always with him. He's always with us. I know that. But how long did you just sit with him? Just resting in him. Just basking and reflecting on his love. Reflecting on his grace. Reflecting on his goodness. Just going, I can't believe I'm your child. Thank you, Lord. You called me out of this world. You called me out of the darkness into the light. Oh, you did that. I'm not even in the equation. You did all that. Thank you, God. And if you play the guitar, you might be saying, Lord,
I love you. You are awesome. Just singing it. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Have you done that this week? Have you spent time? That's the work of God. To love him, to enjoy him, to be still in him, to know that he is good. Oh, let him work that out. Thank you, Jesus. So when it says work out your salvation, this is my last thing. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What he means by work it out is he has already worked it in you. Now let it come out. Work it out. Don't be afraid to share in a church setting like this. Don't be afraid to say to that person on the bus, hey, can I pray for you? Don't be afraid to say to your coworker, man, I really appreciate you. Don't be afraid to stop and pray and say to somebody some good words of God. Work it out. Let it come out. You've got tremendous gifts. You've got tremendous authority, tremendous Jesus presence in you. You're not like other people. You're the kingdom of God right here on earth. People need you. You know, they do. You have it. You can pray. You can speak words of wisdom. You can speak words of knowledge. You can speak words of healing, words of love and kindness and grace. That's you, you dynamic man or woman of God. There's nobody else like you, so take hold. You know? And you got to ask that question. You're driving down the road, you see that guy conked out, and you're like, oh man, I hope that goes well for him. Guy, be warm, be filled, God bless you. Or maybe you say, I'm going to pull over. I don't really have time to pull over. I don't know what I'm thinking. I think I'm going to pull over. I think I'm going to, you know, now you're backing up. What are you doing? You don't have time for this. Something's on my heart. I'm going to work this out. God will take care of all these other things. I'm going to go help that person. I'm going to pray for them. I'll help them change the tire, whatever it is. Have you done that? It's kind of scary. In this world, they'll say thank you and conk you in the head and take your wallet. That's what we're all afraid of. We're afraid of that kind of thing. But God is your protector. I'm just throwing that out. This is some practical stuff that can happen. Or you see somebody at Costco, it looks like they're freaking out or they're worried or they need to pick up that package or they need help them. Just reach out and help a stranger. Put your hand on the shoulder and say, can I pray for you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever just wildly at Costco just said to somebody, hey, can I pray for you? I've never had anybody say no. Never. I've had them go, well, yeah. That's what they say. Well, yeah. You're the kingdom of God. You're mighty men and women of God. Put your hand on somebody and pray for them. And I like to touch them if they'll allow me to do that. There's something that happens when we connect that way. But he's already established these things for you to do. Walk in your identity. You're more than a conqueror. Keep going. Yeah, that's all I've got for today. I could go on and on, but I can see that your butt can't take it. Look, you're mighty men and women of God. We come to church to grow. We come and we grow best by serving. We grow best by letting the Spirit work in us and through us. Don't be afraid to do that. And nobody in this church is going to mock you for doing it. Nobody's going to say you could have done it better or you did a poor job. We might mock you because you did nothing. No, we won't mock you. This is a place of love and grace, right? Right? You come to the right place. If you're looking for love and grace, if you're looking to know your identity in Christ, you're looking to fulfill that. And as the days go on and as God continues to grow this family and we get to know each other and our life groups become more regular and they're functioning, you're going to see a lot of changes in what we communicate. Once we get that foundation, we believe you're getting it, this message will be less. It's always going to be the foundation of what we do, but this will be less, okay?
and we can go broader. I was talking to Tyler. I'm going to put you on the spot. But last night, Tyler saying, you know, it's like, get on with it. We've been in Ephesians forever. Let's get moving. And I get you. I get what you're saying. You know, let's get through the lesson. Let's get it done. And I get it. Again, we're laying a foundation. This will all go away as you begin to express your identity in Christ. Does that make sense? Trying to lay that foundation so you get it. I hope you don't mind. That's the pastor in me. That's the shepherd in me. The teacher in me only comes out now and then because it's so much more important that you're shepherded, that you get your identity. We'll get into the teaching. There's some heavy teaching that we will get into. Good teaching. And we will dissect the Word of God in a very exegetical way, if you like that word. That's what we want to do. But right now, we're still doing the practical teaching. Got it? Bear with me. It's coming. You're growing fast, and a lot of good things are happening in this body. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We know you're doing amazing things in our lives, among us, in this body, Lord, and in this town of Sutherland. And we ask that you would help us to unite with others in this very body. Oh, thank you. I thank you for Pastor John up at the Father's house. I thank you that he reached out to me. I thank you that we've spent time together. I want to unite with other brothers, Lord. I thank you for that pastor that went a little too far in his placard holding or whatever. Bless him, Lord. Give him that balance, Lord. And I pray for my dear brother from the LGBTQ community. Bless him, Lord. Continue to shine your light and your love on him. May we continue to love him. And may one day he come to understand who he is in totality. Well, you're a good God. We thank you. Thank you that you've given us everything we need for life, everything we need for godliness, and our knowledge of Christ Jesus. And we just love you, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing here and what you're doing in our lives. And we submit ourselves to you again and again. Take it. Take it. Get us off the throne and you back on. Thank you, Lord. And now as we go out of this building and as we go into the world to shine the light, I pray that we go and we play in Jesus. Have fun in this thing and see God show up in amazing ways. May this be a tremendous week of unbelievable growth and experience in you. We pray these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now go play. Have fun.